Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Psalm 23 may be the first chapter of scripture I memorized. As a child, and thank my mama, my dad for that. Let's read Psalm 23, New Living Translation. As we get into the word here this evening. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head, you honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me. Somebody say, pursue me. Will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you that even as we sang, that you're a good, good Father who loves giving good gifts to his children. We pray, O Lord, this evening that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to respond to the things that you desired to impart to us and speak to us. I pray that you would touch each and every one under the sound of my voice, all those here, all those watching online, those that will listen and watch later, you would touch them. God, that you'd impart to them. I pray, God, for an anointing upon myself tonight to preach your word. With freedom, with clarity. God, that you would move in a marked way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can go and be seated. Hallelujah. Before we get into what I believe God wants to speak to us this evening, I want to say, had a wonderful time preaching in Eagle River last night, and we had a time. It was powerful, outpouring of God's Spirit. And partially blame it on Pastor Daniel. If you notice any strange behavior, God has been doing something unique to me in my life, and then in our rally, Pastor Daniel prophesied that it was going to increase and be more bizarre. So, however the Lord desires to move tonight, he will do so. Psalm 23 is really so extra. It's just extra. And it's amazing to me that it's so quoted, so memorized, and turned into song. I don't know how many Psalm 23 songs there are out there. There's just a line. You could spend all day, I don't know how many days, listening to Psalm 23 songs. But so many do read it and do not see the extra, the more than enough, the luxuriousness of it, the things that God desires to do. And as the psalmist writes, and it says a psalm of David, he gives us a tremendous illustration, and that's what we're going to look at. Minister Heidi, would you help me? Thank you. He says, my cup overflows. And for me, that picture of the overflowing cup is an illustration of the whole of Psalm 23. That there is an extravagant nature of God that He desires to release in our lives. There's a muchness. There's an overflow. If you look at the promises of God throughout Scripture, it's always more than enough. It's always extra. When Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes, there was extra. Or there was more than enough. When the disciples, well, before they were disciples, Jesus tells them to toss their net on the other side, and there wasn't just a few fish that they caught. They couldn't pull in the net because there was so much. And I want to tell you this evening, there's an overflow and an extra that God wants to do in your life, that His intention for you is over you, overflow. His plan for you is overflow. He wants to pour out so much in your life. And I almost don't want to put a title to it as far as pour out so much of this or so much of that, because we then limit, we become myopic of these certain things. There's a muchness of God that He desires to pour out within your life. And I should have done this in the introductory, but Minister David and media team, I apologize. I'm going to be all over the stage, and hallelujah. I'll do my best. The cup. I believe everybody has a cup. The cup from the illustration really is our inner man, our inner being, who we really are. Understand that you're a body. You're a spirit with a body, I'll say it that way. That really your body is not who you are, your spirit is. That never became more real to me, it's one of the best examples. When my father died, okay, and I went to see his body. And you know what happened to me? That was not my father. I stood there and I was like, everything for me that was him is not there. In greater way, realize that who we are is our inner being, our spirit. And God's desire is that as believers, when you receive Jesus into your life, that we live in a place of the outpouring of His Spirit, where there's an overflow, where there's more than enough, where there's what's being poured into your life is so much that you can't contain it. I can quote scripture after scripture, and we'll look at a few of them, but throughout the Bible, you'll see a more than enough. You'll see an overflow. You'll see just the extra. Those marked by God, there was extra. Those that walked with God, there was extra. Those that pursued the Lord and the things of God, there was an extra. I was tempted to preach the message from Eagle River, but you'll have to go on Facebook and watch their stream. However, I don't know how many of you know, but when Moses was on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, he was there for 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. God sustained him. Now that's extra. You want to believe for God to do something within your life, you've got to take a look at those things and say, God, that extra that you did for Moses, you can do for me. If God, you can sustain him for 40 days without food or water, you can help me in this fast. You can help me in whatever you're going through, whatever I'm going through in my life. So there's an overflow. Now, you remember, if you're unfamiliar with that story, Moses then broke the Ten Commandments in response to the wickedness of the Israelites. I shared that to say he went back up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and did not eat or drink. Twice God sustained him. And if you go and read that, there's so much of that. muchness that you see within there, because God called them to the mountain, to his glorious presence, his glory that was upon Mount Sinai. And at that time of the calling, the initial calling, there was Moses and a bunch of other people with him, plus 70 the elders, and God called them. And then God called Moses and Joshua, and they climbed up the mountain. And then God called Moses, and he climbed up the mountain. That there was a pursuing. There was a more that God wanted to do. Many of us would stop at the base of the mountain. Oh, we had a good service. Oh, that was good, wasn't it? Actually, they had a covenant meal, so they had communion, and they could have went home. No, there was a pursuing. God wants to tonight release an overflow of his presence upon all those that desire it. For many, they read even the promises of God, and I want you to just imagine the cup to be your spirit and really the essence of who you are. And they imagine Jesus going, you need to stay empty to prove how devoted you are. There are many that say, God's not doing these things in my life because he's teaching me how to be patient, how to be humble. And I don't know how many times I have people that go, I feel just like Job. But for many, there's a perspective that God has me here, and I'm just one of his suffering servants. Understand that what we see in Scripture is God wants to cause you to prosper. And that doesn't mean that there won't be suffering, because there will. The Bible says in this life you will have trouble and you will suffer. God doesn't put suffering on you. It's a reality of the life that we live. But in the midst of it, you can have an overflow. In the midst of it, you can have the muchness of God upon you in your life. Where when there's famine around you, it's not on your home. When people are spiritually in famine, it's not on your home, it's not on your family, because there's an overflow. But another thing that happens quite often in church and Christianity is that we want not too much and not too little. So, Lord, you just pour in just enough, not too much, because I don't want to be weird. It's good not to be weird, but there is a quenching of the things of God. And so too often, people just want enough where they feel good about where they're at in life and their relationship with God, but comfortable enough not to have to do anything, comfortable enough to stay in that place. And then there's the full. Right? Oh, where God's filled it up. And that seems like a good place. Just, my cup is full. Ha, we come to church. Oh, we had a powerful time of worship tonight. I just felt the filling taking place during that time of worship. And we have some tremendous services. God pours out his spirit. Oh, we've got some great conferences. Anybody excited for the Power Conference? Oh, my. But what happens is people have a full cup perspective where they go to get filled up, and that's it. And then, as Pastor Daniel puts it, we all leak. And so once you go out, and many times it's, by the time you get to the lobby and have to deal with your children, you're already back into the flesh, and the cup is already leaking out. Just wait till the parking lot. And there's many that get home, and it's like, if only it could be like it is at church. And what God is intending is not the full and not the just enough to get by and not the empty so you can prove something spiritually, but an overflow in your life. Because it is when we're in an overflow that we're able to fulfill his purposes, that we're able to do what he's called us to do. I mean, imagine Jesus. And it's probably pretty easy to imagine. We look alike. Got the beard, the hair, But imagine what it would be. How would Jesus fill this cup if this cup was us? That's his desire. The overflow. Jesus's view is overflow. Minister Heidi, I'm going to relinquish it to you before I don't want to drop it and break it. Overflow. God lately has brought me to a place of overflow where I just, and I don't hear me wrong, I'm not trying to brag, but I'm trying to bring you an example. That in times of going through some of the most difficult things that we have in life, there's been the outpouring of his Spirit and his presence upon our lives, a flow. The Bible talks about joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the one of the things that come up today is, and it's the, one of the deceptions of the enemy, is people that I hear it all the time, that's just life. The difficulty, and we just trying to make it until Jesus comes back. But there is a joy, and there is a overflow that can be had where he pours out his Spirit upon you, where there's a continual flow of his Spirit, where it's not just, oh, I can't, I just got to get to church so that I can get set free or get filled. No, there's a continual flow. And now it's important, and we'll talk about, there's a few points here. We'll talk about what that looks like, or the different things that we can do, need to do, really, to have that overflow. But before we even get to that, there's got to be a hunger. There's got to be a hunger. We're often too comfortable for the overflow. And for me, God had to do some major times of healing. There was an overflow. Where in every situation, God releases his favor. Where even in the midst of difficulty, you have joy. You have joy. There's a joy. And that overflow, it comes from the Lord. We see pictures like the river flowing from the temple in the book of Ezekiel, where he begins to step out into the river, where at the beginning as he steps out into the river, it's okay, and many people just like getting their little toesies in the river. Because, you know, this feels nice, and I'm getting the healing that I need, and oh, and I can step out whenever I want. But the deeper that you go into that river, the less control you have, the more you have to yield to the river, and the river is the flow of the Spirit of God. It's the moving of God, the flow of that river, and as you proceed into the river, you start to get past your knees. And I've grown up all my life commercial fishing on a river. Any river fishermen here, whether it's sport fishing or fishermen or women, okay, commercial fishing, dip netting, you know you get out into the river and you get to your knees and you start to feel the pressure. And you get to your hips and you feel the pressure, and you get to your waist and you might start to float. You're losing more and more control. Jesus talking to the woman at the well. Thus he will give rivers of living water. There is a flow that can be had where you're living in the presence of God. the purpose of God, the power of God. There is the overflow. And there's a choice that must be made, whether we're to stay where it's comfortable, the depth that we've still got enough control, where we feel comfortable. But God wants you to take you to a place where He's in control. And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. You know, I'll ask you this, why are so many in this church fasting? It's not because we're trying to lose weight, which some of us are. But that's not the point of this time of fasting. There's many things we're believing for, but the underlying desire and motivation is the right word for fasting is closeness with God, the depth of the river. What if I were to tell you, every person in this room, God desires to pour out His Spirit upon you with joy unspeakable, with peace that goes beyond understanding, with a release of miracles and signs and wonders. Oh, where your life begins to not only look like the book of Acts, but in that place where Jesus says, beyond what we can ask or think, that place that He talks about where He says, even greater things will you do than this. There is a place in the river. But you've got to have this desire where you're crying out to God, I want to be filled. I want to overflow. I want you to pour out upon me, upon my life, upon my family. I want it more than food. I want that the fast is about. God, more than food, I want you. Five points for the note takers. Number one, if you want to be in the overflow of His glory, of His presence, of His... I'll give you the points in just a moment. But it says blessings in New Living Translation. His cup overflows with blessings. Don't get a myopic picture of what that is. The blessings are just this. Understand the root of all blessings is walking with God. It's closeness with God. If you look in Scripture, when God blessed someone, it was in response to them walking with Him, obeying Him, and doing that which enabled Him to walk with them as a people. So number one, if you want the overflow, the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon your life, if you desire that, you need a new cup. You need a new cup. You need a new cup. And that comes through receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that when we do so, the old is gone, the new has come. That we're a new creation, born again. That we're brand new. That we don't come to God and pray a prayer of asking Jesus into our hearts, and then an angel comes and he scrubs out that dirty cup that you've been living with this whole time. That's not what happens. Actually, I think that's closer picture to the Old Testament sacrifices that did a cleansing. What Jesus did, it's not a cleaning out. It's a brand new. It's transformative. It's not just building it up so it's better. And that's not build back better. It's brand new. You need a new cup. And there's picture in Scripture. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. It's a picture of being born again so you can carry the presence of God upon your life. And it's having that new cup. And it's keeping that cup clean. 2 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 2, I think, verse 21, talks about vessels for noble purposes. that there is a command to desire to be vessels of noble purposes. And that when we do so, what does that look like? Well, when you come over, we have guests come over. Not really happen at our house, maybe. We'll give you the nicer cup. This nicer cup, I wouldn't say we've got nice cups because we have six kids from the ages of 4 to 15. Praise God. maybe one day we'll have nice cups. Not, but we're not going to give you the one that the 4-year-old had. Who knows what's on that thing? Unless you need to strengthen up your immune system, we're not going to give you that. We're not going to give you his cup. We want to be that vessel for noble purposes where not only have we traded in our old cup and said, make me new and have a new spirit within me, but we want to keep clean so that we can be used by God. One of the problems with that I see and that I've experienced is that when we're living in a way that God has said not to live, that those things, they in a sense, and this illustration, it only kind of works, but it dirties the cup in a way. That's not a good illustration. It hinders us from receiving the overflow. That's a better one. Because you can't dirty that newness that God has done within your life. If you're saved, the Bible says that you are buried with him and that the old man is buried. You know what that means? That means that every charge against that nature, if you try and bring the charge against me in that way of sin, I'll point you to a news article from 2,000 years ago that said I died and was buried in a tomb. So you try and put a charge on a dead man, and yet you'll find that 3 days later, in Christ I rose from the dead, and the life I now live, I live in Christ, hidden in him. And so that newness, somebody needs a revelation of that. Hold on. The Bible says now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It's because you can't stick that to someone who's died. Now there's no condemnation. Condemnation says you're a sinner, you sin, that's just who you are, and there's no getting away from that. The Bible says that when we are made brand new and receive Jesus into our lives, that we're the righteousness of God through Christ, that he's made us new, and we're to live from that identity. Can I tell you the number one way of changing your behavior is changing your identity? The Bible talks about that, but even secular sciences, and if you read books like Atomic Habits, you know what they'll say? The number one thing you want to do, if you want to change your habits and change your behaviors, change your identity. And so if you begin to look at your life and go, now, I'm dead in Christ. I died with him. That old nature died with him. I don't do those things anymore. That dead guy did those things. I'm alive today, and the life I now live, I live in Christ. What that means is that what would apply to me in sin, which would be death and destruction, he took on himself and was buried. And that when he was raised from the dead, it means that I receive now what is intended for him. And there's those that are in here tonight that you're being hindered by your own perspective that you're not worthy of receiving blessing. You're not worthy of receiving things from the Lord. You're not worthy. And you've got to understand that the worthiness comes from Jesus. He is worthy. And we're in him. The Bible says we're hidden in Christ. We receive. The blessings pointed at him are sent towards me. That's why it can say in Scripture that every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm through Christ is released to us. So you got to have a new cup. You got to have a new cup. And then you've got to take care of the holes. What are we talking about? Well, there's a number of scriptures. We don't have time to go through all of them, but things like tithing. The Bible says if you don't return the tithe, that you're under a curse. And that no matter what you try and do and bring increase into your life and in your family, it just kind of dribbles away. And as the blessings are poured into your life, it just kind of pours out. It's released. Grieving the Holy Spirit. You've got to deal with those things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Bad areas of character. That which you want to say, well, it's just who I am. That's just my personality. Deal with it. But it's hindering. It's grieving the Holy Spirit and not it hinders the outpouring, the flow into your life. Number three, deal with the cracks. The cracks being trauma and wounds and bitterness and envy and striving and all those things that God is constantly working on, healing. I didn't realize this early on, but over the last few years, something that's happened in my life is God has put an emphasis for emotional healing, pursuing it personally. And when I began to do that, His presence and the anointing on my life increased drastically. And I said, whoa, something's happening here. Because God is not going to elevate you and increase you beyond your emotional maturity. Because if He does, which He won't, but people do, people can, that's why the Bible says not to elevate someone too hastily. Because when you receive an elevation above your character and above your level of healing, you'll blow up. You hurt other people. You respond out of the hurt and respond out of the bitterness and the envy. And once you begin to get the healing of those things, I know there's nobody in here, but once you get the healing for that thing that says, I should have had that ministry. There's people getting bestowed tonight in Maui. That should be me. It's pretty quiet. I'm telling you right now, this is for somebody, if you don't deal with that thing, it'll number one, it'll hinder you from receiving. But if you let it persist, it'll grow. And it'll release a bitterness, and it will continue to permeate your life to the point where it can turn to the spirit of murder. Now, I'm not going to go into all of that, but if you look at the life of Saul and David, Saul was envious of David to the point where that spirit overwhelmed him, and he tried to kill David. Cain and Abel, in the book of Genesis, God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's, and Cain was so jealous, so envious, so bitter that he killed his brother. And you tell me that this is not something that is prevalent within people. It is. Or I should have that. That house, I should have that house. That blessing, I should have that blessing. And if you don't deal with that, it will hinder you. One of the major things that has happened in my life is the dealing with that and the continual squashing of that thing. Anytime it tries to rear up its head, bringing scripture, bringing verses to it and squashing that thing, because it'll keep you not only from receiving from the Lord, it'll keep you from growing in the things of God, being used by God, and ultimately, it can result in destruction. Deal with the cracks. Get healing. Get healing. I was just sitting and had coffee with a friend of mine, and we were just talking, and he's a close friend. We're just exposing the difficulties and the hurts and the things that we're going through, and then praying for one another. And It's not a complain session where I'm going through this and I'm going through that, but it was an active exposing that this thing has been operating in my life, and I need some help to deal with it. I can't do it by myself. I need you to pray for me. Listen, you better have somebody in your life, because the Bible says that to confess your sins to one another and be prayed for so you can be healed. And it's not a confession like the Catholic Church has taken it, where I tell my sins to another person that's just as sin, you know, their sin has stained them just as much as mine has. They have sin like I do. We take and confess our sins to God, who's faithful to forgive. But we confess those sins to one another so that we can receive healing, so that we can be prayed for. And that's a part of dealing with those cracks. Exposing, getting in a life group, being a part of a team, and getting close to some godly people and having those things dealt with. I know we want to look super spiritual. We all want to look as spiritual as Pastor Kirsten, smelling food through walls, and he's just fasting and ha. But it's a very hard life as a Christian to come and look super spiritual, but be hurting and tormented on the inside from trauma and from the torment of the enemy and your thoughts that you know that are not right, but they just keep coming back, and the sin that you've not been able to get breakthrough from. It is hard. And that's why it's so important to come for prayer and to develop those godly relationships with the life group leaders, the leaders of this house, godly men and women in this place, and say, I want to walk with you. I want you to help me in my life. I'll tell you, the people that begin to do that and expose those areas in their lives, there is breakthrough that happens. Those things get broken off of their lives. They begin to get the healing, and all of a sudden the anointing grows on their life, and all of a sudden they're getting touched by God in a major way. And now it's them that other people are going, that should be me. But because they've submitted themselves in such a way as to get the healing for the broken and the hurting and the wounded places, and exposing the mindsets and the character flaws, and said, I want to get rid of all these things because I want more of God. I want to do what He's called me to do. I want all that He has for me in my life. So you deal with the cracks. Hallelujah. Minister Heidi, would you come? I'm going to come down off the stage. I'm so sorry. Media team, I love you. But hallelujah. I'm tempted to jump off the stage with an eagle war cry. Hallelujah. But hair flying. Number four, I know there's those that you love your note taken, and here they're like, he said 5 points. I'm waiting for the last two. Number four is to stay in the flow. I love the saying, you want to stay in the spout where the glory comes out. And if you imagine yourself, this is why I wanted to come down here, because there's a hungry people down here. If you imagine yourself like that cup, you want to get, if you want overflow, where do you got to be? Where the flow is. This Christian sitting in a dry place going, fill me. God, why aren't you pouring out your spirit? And it's not necessarily about a physical place, though I'll talk about that. But the Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And we humble ourselves and we pursue God and push everything else away. There's a flow that begins to happen. But there's also places dedicated to the pursuing of the presence of God. And if you've got a dedication to being in that place, God's going to pour out upon you. Stay in the flow. One of the sad things that I've seen over the years, I've not been in ministry for as long as some, but for long enough to see people begin to come and they get saved, they get touched by God, begin to be filled, and God begins to move within their lives. And oh, they were believing for a family, God gives them a family. They were believing for a job, God gives them a job. They're believing for a vehicle. Oh, God is doing all these mighty things, and they're tithing, and they're always in service, and they're, oh my, they're in morning prayer. And then the blessing starts to be too much for their character. I can't come to prayer anymore because this job, it's just, I've got to rest. I don't know, but Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights without sleep. Something sustained him. Without food and drink, I'm going to assume without sleep, something sustained him. Now, listen, just read between the lines. If you have to be at work and you can't make it a morning prayer, I'm not talking to you. Okay? But make sure you're finding those times where you're being positioned for the flow. One of the things that Pastor Daniel said to me eons ago, I don't want to calculate how long ago now, he said that when he was younger, and it's still true today, he would be tempted not to come to church. But then he would start to think, what if tonight was the night that God was going to pour out that thing that I needed, that I've been praying for, that I've been believing for? God was going to do something in my life. And so he would go. And I've just adopted that. Anytime there's something going on, I'm here, not because I want to be here. God is moving in this place. There's something, there's been an increase even lately that's been happening. There's an outpouring, and there is more. We just had a little taste. We just had a little bit. There's so much more that God is desiring, and you can miss it. You can miss it. It's one thing to go, God, I'm hungry, God, I'm thirsty. It's another thing to follow that with action and do that which allows you to be filled and allows the overflow to be upon your life and getting to the place where the outpouring is. But I want to say this as well, staying in the flow, because what I'm not saying is that you should go and follow every conference all over the nations, and this person's doing this there, and this person's doing that there. No, there's a commitment that happens to the place that God has called you to, the church that God has called you to do, so you can be a part of what God is pouring out. And many people have a limited flow in their lives because they're not keeping those relationships that keep them healed to carry the anointing and carry that flow. Keep them healed. Were you saying that when you get healed one time, it doesn't just stay? I don't know, maybe for you, but I gotta get healed all the time. I actually gotta come up for healing all the time. I'm not talking necessarily about physical. I got things going on I need to be prayed for. I got people all the time, hey, pray for me. Hey, lay hands on me. Stay in the flow. One of the things that happens not only in people, but in movements and churches, ministries, is God will pour out his spirit. And then, oh, praise God, they had their move, and then that's it. They stopped pursuing. They stopped pursuing that flow. God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And we can stay in that old time where at one point God touched my life. How is it today? Is there a flow today? Is there a flow today? Oh, well, I'm in this time where God's just teaching me how to live without, you know, feeling his presence. It's not biblical. God has always desired to walk with his people. Now listen, there are times, short times, where you've got to not go by whether you can feel his presence, but by what his word has said. The Bible says sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There are those times. So just understand what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. There's a flow. There's a joy that can be had. Stay in the flow. Stay in the flow. And if I could come up with it, I'm trying to say this, and I've only got a few more moments. I can't even, maybe Pastor Kirsten can help us afterwards, because I'm having a hard time putting a title to the last point, because there is a time that must take place where you become, you find out who you are in him, in his presence. Jesus said it this way, when you pray, go into the secret place, and your Father who is in the secret place will hear you and reward you. That you are uniquely you. You have your own relation. There's a way of relating with God that only you have. At first, I was a little bit, I don't know, nobody else get frustrated with some scriptures? Frustrated that that scripture is so ambiguous. Jesus, tell me, delineate the structure of the secret place for me. So I can just do the boom, 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 and then I get all the things. But as I've grown closer to the Lord, oh, I don't know, more mature, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. I found out that it's ambiguous on purpose. Ambiguous means not defined. Because I'm so different from you that my secret place, the way I relate to God and have that time alone with him, is different than how you relate to him. And there's not a set structure. It's in the uniqueness of who you are in him. I'll tell you right now, though, there is some structure throughout the word, okay? If you're thinking that your secret place is smoking a couple joints and then, man, God talks to me and gives me these visions, that's not the Lord. Those aren't from the Lord. It's not the Lord. It's got to be within the boundaries of what he said within the word. I'll give you an example. God speaks to Joshua. Moses has now passed the leadership to Joshua. And God says to Joshua, everywhere you set your foot is yours. And then he details the boundaries. Well, what happened to everywhere I set my foot? Within my will, God is saying. And it's that, the same in our pursuit of his presence and drawing near to him. It's in the boundaries of what we see within Scripture, the boundaries of his will. But it's also in the uniqueness of who we are in relationship to him. So the boundaries of his will, yet there is a unique way that he speaks to you and wants to meet with you. You can have the joy of the Lord. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. that there is such a thing as the joy unspeakable and full of glory. That there's a place of His presence. There's a place of His power. There's a place of His might. And it's not set aside for, oh, just those special ones. It's those that will stay, will get in the flow, will be positioned for the overflow, will take care of the things on the inside and deal with offense. One of the most difficult things as a pastor to watch is somebody get offended and abort the plan of God for their life because they get offended and they leave the church. And just crash and burn. Seen it too many times. God wants to release His power within your life. Your life. Your life. But are you going to pursue it? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Not might be, it's will be filled. They will be filled. But there's that hunger and thirsting is not just a passive hope, wish. It's an action of pursuing the presence of God. And I know we didn't look at this text, but in Exodus 24, I mentioned already the climbing of the mountain, Mount Sinai, into the presence of God. Started at the bottom and progressively entered into the presence, into the thick cloud, into the glory. God wants to pour out His Spirit upon you and upon your children, upon your family.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.